or Shabbat speaking?
Tomorrow morning.
Sorry, my mistake. Apologies.
Gimel Tavis, 11th of December, Reb Dudi Rosenberg. Am I now enlightened?
I hope so.
You can go home now.
I hope so.
You can go home.
No. Company
life.
My current track record at Torah Way is rather poor. When asked to give Alucha, I give Drush. But I'm still repenting for my misdemeanors, as you are aware. Consequently, the presentation today actually is based on halachos, but the derivatives are directives in education and upbringing permit me to elucidate.
Sure.
Much has been expounded about Hanukkah in the last week, but I tried to bring tangible and practical lessons. These were alluded to by Gaon Rav Tzvi Kushlevsky on Sunday, but time constraints disallowed elaboration. Chanukah equals chinuch. Chinuch is education, upbringing, child rearing, etc. In this way, I was enlightened after Chanukah by illuminating thoughts from the Gates of Ruv Shlita. The Gemur brings Zazue Bener, or Harugel Bener, depending on the Girse, Haven Leibunem Talmid Chachom. Rashi refers to two things. One is Nairos Shabbos, and the Ner refers to Nairos Chanukah. Now, most mitzvahs, Alachidas Matzah, Lilev, Shofar, etc., man and wife are equal in their precepts and their fulfillments. However, in these two hadlukas, one partner represents both. Shabbos lecht are invariably lit by the wife for the home, and Chanukah lecht are by the husband because Ishtar kegufoy. Now, Chanukah equates chinuch, and interestingly, the concept of ner requires the father and the mother to unite on one front on the chinuch of their children, so that there shouldn't be a disparity in their upbringing. Mixed messages are the key to a child fearing from the Derech HaTorah Rachmanit Litzlan. So the analogy progresses. One, the basic mitzvah we said was ne echod lebayis. There can only be one standard in a home. Ne ish ubeisoy. No child would watch inappropriate videos or listen to rock music or display individual standards of tznius, because there would be one barometer of chinuch for the home. Then again, Mahadrin, which is Ne Lekol Echot Ve'echot. The ideal standard would be Chanoich Esana Lepi Darkoi, that each child would be receiving its tailored individual requirements and needs of Chinuch, a specialized light directing the Kol Echot Ve'echot of each child. Which will bring us to the Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, where we are Moisev Hoylach. How do we equate that in Chinuch? As the numbers and the ages increase in the family, parents might appreciate that one cannot apply the same Chinuch to a 9-year-old as one might to a 15-year-old. Simply doesn't work. As they get older and they're moisiv, they require differentiated approaches, and the parents have to be a hoylach as opposed to an oymed. Then we have the famous argument between Bes Hillel and Bes Shammai. Are we moisiv hoylach or are we poiches hoylach? Bes Hillel say, in the idea that neiros symbolize Torah and purity, that this consistently increases the Torah in the child as they mature. They are moiser v'hoylech. However, Beis Shammai, who associate the Neiros with the decreasing of the Purei HaChag, as was mentioned yesterday, these Kabunas are brought for 70 nations, represent the Chol element of the Gentile influence. And that Chol element, which is represented by secular education, will gradually diminish as the child's priority agenda as he gets older. Unless he needs it, of course, for his panusa. A menorah lit lemalo me esrim amo is possible, because aspirations which are too high for the child and unrealistic might provide his ultimate downfall, as unachievable goals serve only to boost the parents' egos. Man Tzadiki, you're surely going to grow into Chofetz Chaim, because it's loy shalte boy eine. Lofty concepts beyond attainability are also pusl. Conversely, if it's lemato mishloisha tevuchim and there are no aspirations at all, that leave a child with no goals to aspire towards, and no parental expectation either. So this mediocrity might be interpreted by the child, I'm not much good at anything anyway. You can see so little is expected of me. It's also puzzle. And finally, the menorah is lit, Pesach Bais Mibachutz. Yanki elaborated on this a lot. The outside door of the home, so interestingly, the Beis HaMikdash's windows were narrow on the inside and wide on the outside, as its sanctity and the Kedisha of the Beis HaMikdash illuminated the entire world. Similarly, along our theme of Chinuch, when internalized, good chinuch serves as a beacon of light shining from within the home, illuminating the dangerous and dark challenges of the street outside, fortifying the child to shine even when he leaves his home domain, that he's still imbued with the inner light which can take him outside. I felt enlightened by these ideas. I do hope that you enjoyed them too. Otherwise, please treat them as Esrogim after Sikkis. If Rabixenspanner wrapped up Chanukah, then this will serve as the ribbon and the bow on top of the parcel. Now, the second part of the Shia bridges Chanukah and this week's Seder Vayigash. So let's start off with denial. Denial is a psychological term describing blocking external events from awareness. Just like smokers will never acknowledge that they are killing themselves, or alcoholics, of course, haven't got a drink problem. Now, there's a famous difficulty as to why the Shvutim, the Shiftekar, were unable to recognize that the viceroy, Yos Atzadik, the viceroy, the Sheinu Lemalchus, was actually Yosef, when there were so many indicators towards this revelation. I will list just 10 of them, but there are more. He said in Mem Bais Yitches, Eselekim Ani Yure, the Egyptian monarch, in fact, the monarchy, they had yellow pages for gods. You know, they wanted to have a directory to register them all, so that when Paro wanted to check up to see if the Ribbono Shel Olam actually appeared there, so he said, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma B'Koiloi, and he's been through the entire yellow pages, and he didn't find God's name there. So he asked Moshe, sorry, doesn't appear. Must put in a better advert. So this viceroy, he makes a point of proclaiming his Yerushalayim, and he says, no, I sell a kim and a yurei. I recognize and fear the Eibishte. Second, Rashi in the Medrash, Menachesh Ani, speak to about Shimon Velevi, that two of you destroyed an entire city of Shechem. Now, Fox News weren't there yet to report it. And so therefore, he somehow knew that they had actually destroyed the entire city of Shechem, and he was down in Mitzrayim. Okay, so maybe he heard about it, but he knew that they were Shimon Velevi. Strange. Third, Lonu ilamalo, which means this is them reporting to Yaakov about what went on down there in Mitzrayim. Sorry. So he even knew the wood, whether it was walnut or olive wood or oak, that the cradles were made out of. So you've got the king of Mitzrayim who's relating to the other brothers, I know what your cradle and your cot was made out of, the wood, how it was constructed. Yeah, but the Nachesh is a limitation even on divinity, how to know through Koyach HaKishev, to know what which wood their cradle was made out of is taking it even a bit far, even on magic standards. These are all possibly Nechush, you could interpret it like that, but it's more likely for a person to think, how does he know these things? How does he know these things? Itvoyach, Tevach, Vohuche, which we all interpret in the Chanukah theme, but the Gemara in Chilin says that Menashe, the son of the viceroy, came and displayed to the Shvutim the Beis HaShchita to show them that it was the Mahadrim and the Mahadrim and that they've just done a Shchita, that's your standards. Yeah? And now, not only that, that in front of them he actually removed the Gid Hanushe from in front of them. Gid Hanushe. Menashe took out to show them that they were okay to eat this animal. And who knew about the Gid Hanushe? Sarah Shelaiso, Yaakov Avini, and the Eibishter, and the Shvutim perhaps. But the king, and the second, the Shaini Lemalchus in Mitzrayim, knew about the Gid Hanushe and exactly where it was and how to remove it because this was become an issa for them to eat. Absolutely preposterous. Then, another one. Elekeichem velekei avichem nusan luchem matmoin. This viceroy is busy with the Eibishter, your God, Tatens Eibishter, dan God, and he studies the Mesillas Yeshurim in between wheat sales. What's he doing? Where does he get all this? Another one. Vayayas binyumin, vayoyme, elekim, yochnechu bini. You know what the purpose of bringing Binyamin was down to Mitzrayim was for? Because this young man was brought to testify the veracity of the Shvutim, were they or were they not telling the truth. And now why should he suddenly display such a fondness to Binyamin? Doesn't it beg questions? Number seven, Yosef seated them around the table. You know how he put the seating arrangements with the cards? And then the younger ones next to them. So he sat at the top of the table, Reuven, and then Shimon and Levi. And he knew it all. He knew exactly who was older and who was next and who was younger. Then afterwards, in case that wasn't good enough, who did he sit next to him? Binyamin. And then he says to him, you have no mother. I have no mother either. You sit next to me. How did he know this? We go to number 8. Vaturev Masos Binyamin, Chumesh Yudois, an unadulterated display of affection for Binyamin. 5 times more than everybody else. Just happened like that. Consequential, incidental. Why? Go into Vayigash, into this week's center. And Yehuda displayed the supernatural strength. If you check Medrash Rabbah, you'll see with the covering, the boulders, etc. But now, Medrash says that to contain Yehuda, Menashe went up to him and gripped his arm tight. And Yehuda promptly acknowledged, this strength can only come with Bais Abba. So you've got a clue, right, that he really identified here that you've got a young man who was only two. And he's holding on to Yehuda, and Yehuda recognizes that he's never seen the strength before. It could only come from Yaakov Avinu's household. And that's the end of the story. If it comes from Yaakov Avinu's household, take it further. Elaborate. And finally, Adoin Yishol es Avud of Leima. Now we're going to Medrushim. It's literally in the Pusik. You asked me questions. So Yehuda verbalized. He actually said, told him his astonishment at this viceroy's nosy questions. You want to be our mechitten? You're seeking to marry our sister? Did we ask to marry your daughter? Yet the penny doesn't drop. And Yehuda goes on. He doesn't think, why is he asking these questions? Rabbi Yishe Kubrina once asked, we say the Pusik, Tite Emes Li Yankov. Rabbi Shalom gives truth to Yankov. Now how is this Emes given? Is it given in bottles? In capsules? Is it given by truth pills? How are you supposed to give Emes to somebody? How do you just dispense truth? Well, the answer is that it's impossible for a person, a human being, to be 100% objective. Because his jaundiced eye and the negias that he has preclude this. But if the Eibishter notes the insatiable desire for a person to pursue truth, emes, then the Eibishter assists that journey with him. There's a story from the Chayzer of Lublin that he asked his chassidim, his disciples, to find a certain mendel in the town of Tomashov. When they find him, they should bring him to Lublin. They set out, and upon reaching the town, they asked various different people, who is mendel of Tomashov? Nobody seemed to know. They looked, they searched at night. They had to go to sleep, they had to retire. So where did they go? To the Beis Medrash. That was the only place they could sleep. In the middle of the night, the door opens. A man enters into the shul, and in the darkness he goes towards the Kodesh. He opens the door to the Kodesh. And Haiptun Zeweinen, he cries and wails, bitter tears in the darkness. And he hears voice saying, Rebbeinu Shloilom, Vaz mechabrekele emes, Vaz mechabrekele emes, show me just a crumb of truth. They woke, they rose, and they asked him, wie heißt die, what's your name? Ich heiß Mendel. You, the Mendel Tomashover? Yeah, I live here in Tomashov. Says, du siehst emes, you're looking for truth? You follow us, come to Lublin, to the Rebbe of Lublin, there you'll find truth. This Mendel turned out to be none other than the Kotzke Rebbe, whose entire life was in the pursuit of truth. You know, they say, they repeat the story about a Dayan in Ashtetalde, and the Dayan was in the business of taking bribery. Scheuchat. And how did he take the Scheuchat? He was in the middle of a case between two litigants. And when one of them saw that it's not going quite his direction, so he had always two golden rentler, two little gold coins. Now the dayan used to wear boots. So he took the two golden rentler and the litigant neatly dropped under the table one coin and the second one. And when the dayan felt two coins drop in the boots, then he turned around and says, dost eides, it's anders. If you have testimony, that's a different story. And then, of course, the direction went in to win as the litigant wanted. And this happened time and time again, and it was a quantified, as we say. But one of his loyal clients of the dying got fed up. It was costing him a fortune in Shoichet. His bribery was eventually escalating. And the inflated cost of bribery he pulled off at one occasion when he could see things weren't going right in his argument, and he took off two Becketcher buttons and pulled them off, and under the table he slipped the Becketcher buttons into the boots of the dying. And the dying heard the clink and he said, "Ah, dost eides." So it's anders. Different story. After the case, he went into his dying's room and then took off his boots. He takes out, instead of two golden rendlich, he takes out two Becketcher buttons and gets a little cup to him. Ah, Wenschle. So the Chaoilem HaShake is it. So, the Chatimim in Mitzrayim, they actually were also in denial. Because there was dam, there was tzefateya in kinim. Comes out kinim, suddenly they say, etzpa elekim hi, this is the finger of the Reboin Shloilem, there is the trademark. They knew, of course, that when the stick of Moshe Rabbeinu swallowed, vayivle mate Moshe, mate haranes matoisom, that this was something which they could perform as well, yeah? That one stick swallows up another stick. And when it came to dam, for all the money in the world, you couldn't buy water unless you paid the Jew. They could make all sorts of tricks with blood, but they couldn't actually achieve the purchase of water. If they needed water, they had to buy the water to turn it into blood. But this didn't count. Neither did it count for the fact that the frogs, which were from the Mitzrayim, never went into the Tanurim, and they didn't go in and be moise nefesh themselves. So the distinctions and the telltale signs were there all along. There was no question about it where it came from. But when you're in denial, then you come to the place where there's kilim and which are smaller than the gesoiris and nunu. Have a go. Doesn't work because they can't produce it at all. Ah, etzpa elokimhi. But what happened before, all the lineup, Doms, Fadea, and what happened with the sticks and all the other nissim and nissim, which you knew very well that you couldn't do that. But if you don't want to see it, you don't see it. Just like a Chatzos HaLailu, when they came, midnight, and there was Yosef Sech Mitzrayim, so they stood there with their Rolex watches, and they were watching to see if at 12 o'clock it's going to be on the second of midnight, and they said, ha-ha, Moshe Baduihi, this was at Reboin Shloilem already, so up front, and he said, don't say Bach Zeus, say Kachatzois. Because the fact that you've got a track record that you said Dam was going to happen, and Sfadeh was going to happen, and Kinim, and Urev, and Lev, and Shchin, all that doesn't count. But you know what? But you'll be 1.25 minutes out on midnight because their watches don't work, because the Eibishter's watch works perfectly. Then the answer will be Kachatzois Alayla, Moshe Baduihi. How can you say such a thing? But if you don't want to face the truth, then you can be in denial. Which brings us to the famous answer given by Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz in his food. And we should always make the disclaimer beforehand regarding that we are speaking about the Shiftei Kar. And always to remember that we're speaking about the Shiftei Kar, that it's a different category completely. But the Rishonim write that the brothers surmised that Yosef dreamed at night what he thought about in the day. And therefore, if he thought about the fact that he wants to have authority and dominion over them, then consequently his desire for authority and monarchy made him guilty as a Moirat B'Malchus. And therefore, usurping Yehuda's monarchy, they ruled him deserving of death. This verdict was unquestionable, and even the Shechinah was included in the Chayra. And now, with the turn of the events, the Shvutim were faced with the possibility that their brother's dreams were actually Nevuah, and they were really prophecy, and it had to be realized. And they may have recognized at this point the Shiftei Kar, their lack of compassion. That was as far as the compassion element, but they still thought that he deserved death and they passed him correctly. Because servitude was a substitute, and that was compassionate enough. We didn't kill him. However, now, perhaps that sail was an error, and that their father was reduced to mourning for 22 years because of them. And the dominoes start to topple. And all the cheshbonos might have been a very grave mistake. The assumptions are challenged. Said Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Zechoino Levruche, the indicators can be as clear as daylight, but you don't see what you don't want to see. And that is denial. The Bris Keruv had a Talmud who went off the rails. Years later he met him. And the Talmud explained to his former Rosh Hashiva, embarrassed, he says, he had kashas, evidently concerning his belief in God. Reb Chaim retorted sharply, teritzim, perhaps, but not kashas. A teretz, why you shouldn't keep Shabbos. A teretz, why you shouldn't eat kusher. A teretz, why you shouldn't have to put on tefillin every day. And then, noch dem allem, in dor kashas. Yeah, father. Reb Chunan Wasserman in Koibitz Igrois questioned. It says in the Pusik, v'loi sosuru achrei levavchem. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? Achrei levavchem, ze minus. Ask Reb Chunan, it doesn't tell you. Minus would be achrei datchem, because if a person has got apikorsish inclinations, they would come as an intellectual denial of God. There again he explains that the source of the apikorsis is really tavus, the cravings, the lusts, and the minus is not related to the intellect. As recognition and acceptance of the Eibishter would automatically obligate an ethical and moral code of behavior. So if one chooses to disbelieve, the problem is solved simply by denial. So it becomes Achrei Levavchem. I heard recently a story from Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson. He was asked to speak to a distinctly different and non-observant audience. The content was clearly void of Torah, but replete with thought and with philosophy. He then made the cardinal sin of mentioning God. At this point, a woman stood up from the audience, clearly seething at the mouth. And in her rage, she snarled at him, God does not exist. This is a scientifically proven fact. Do you understand? She said to him. God does not exist. There was silence. After a moment or two, he asked her, do you mind if I ask you a question? Madam. Go ahead, she snorted begrudgingly. For something that does not exist, why are you getting so passionate? Doesn't that seem awfully strange? This is the power of denial. So let us conclude once again, remembering that the Shiftei Kar were Malach Elekim Tzavuos. They were in a place far removed from us to conceptualize. But nonetheless, because of this lofty Madrege, we are still suffering from Chiras Yosef to this very day. The Torah is our manual for life. It is possible to appreciate how we too are affected in our day-to-day decisions by negias and failure to see things, to see the Ani Yosef, Ha'oid Uvichai, which are staring us straight in the eye. Thank you.
Where are you?
Where are you?